For those of you who are listening to the Shurim during the week, it's some repetition, but do with a little more hesber, a little more conversation over here. Go through the aluminium, start with the asterisk. So, let's work like this. Okay, there are two different types of psulim, which we discussed by asterisk. There's psulim which are a requirement of l'kicha tamo, and there are psulim which are chasaron of hodr. There are also psulim which are psulim of min, which is a third issue. The issue of merkav is a question of min. So psulim of l'kicha tamo are psulim which only apply the first day, and the Shulchan Aruch says that any psul which is a psul only on the first day, if so, l'chara and tafresh mem tes and sifhei, those who keep 2 days yom tov psulei rishon nightly b'sheni al bruchel mevarchinon. So you'll take them without a bracha, so you can't make a bracha on the yom sheni. It's a machlokes in the poskim whether something which is poshul and rishon is kosher and sheni, because we know kriya the yarka. So the first day is the raisa, the second day is the rabbanon. Chazal and their mesakin the 7 days. So they were masakin something which is ikar in the lulav or the asterisk, they're masakin. So the min, they're masakin. So it's a murkab is going to be a problem all 7 days. Something which is the issue of hadar, they're masakin as well. So that's going to apply to all 7 days. The psul of lakichatama, or the issue of lachem, which is not in the min itself, in the item itself. So they weren't masakin. That should apply all 7 days. So the shaila is what's within with Yom Sheni. So you bring two sheets. One says we keep it tzvek of the yom, which means the zman that they were keeping the calendar al piriya, they were forced to mimachmer on both days because this is a suffix deraisa for them. So if we're keeping zeicher for what they were doing, chazal were masakin, you must keep as if you're doing that. So about it's possible the second day also may suffix. That's the chart itzad that you are yishvi machmer. The tzad to be mekel, interestingly enough, the tzad to be mekel, there's a shulchan aruch rav. I think I have to wash it over here. Close the washing. That so we keep it Kaddish, you shouldn't come to Mazal, so in Minigab Hesenu. In other words, why do you put on, let's ask you a question. Shuas is make an easy case. Okay, Shuas is one, the rice is 1 day. So you keep 2 days. So we know we're Bekiya and Bekiya the Yarcha. So we know really that the first day is Shuas, second day is not really Shuas. So we say Minigab Hesenu, but then we're going to keep it. But we know. So why don't we put on Tefillin Misafik? Say maybe it's not Yaltav anymore. It's a Safik. You know, you should put on Tefillin Misafik. So you say, don't put on Tefillin Misafik. Why? You shouldn't even Zalzim in the Yomtiv. Because you put on Tefillin, nobody's going to take the Yomtiv seriously. It's really Yomtiv, really. That's why you went to Tefillin. Right? So it's going to undermine. So we're not keeping it, the Taurus, the real Kviyas. So we make Kiddush. What do we make Kiddush? It's the Brachom Atala. You know what the Kviyat the Yarka is. Yeah, but if you're not going to make Kiddush, nobody's going to take the Yomtiv seriously. So we have this whole series of things which Chazal did in order to take the Chumrah of being Machmer on the day seriously. So, and that, we have a limit. So something which I know that Mikra did this little bit, something which is obvious. So I walk over and I say, something I do something, but over here, I don't necessarily look at the Lulav as, about the halacha, hey, it must be Zarai, it's Mechintos, like, you know, we're not such big lamdonim, the cop to bring Mizals and the Yomtiv, because of that we're not taking Lekicha Tamo. Like, we're not such big lamdonim, so it's not such a Zilzal to the Yomtiv, so you can be Mekel. So, anything which would be possible, only the first day, which is the issue of Lochem, the issue of, it has to be your Lulav, is only halacha on the first day. And the second day, we'd have this Chumrah. The rest of the Yomtiv, you can use somebody else's Lulav. The first day, you have to have the person be marked a little up to you. So a person has a child. So there's a problem with children. If a person wants the child to do the mitzvah of lulav, so the mitzvah chinuch, it has to be done the way you're being mechanic the person to do the mitzvah. So I can't give a child a celery stick and a lemon and say, here, do chinuch. That's not chinuch. I'm training him to do something wrong. I have to train him to do something right. I have to train him to do the set of the dollar minimum, the proper set of dollar minimum. Am I mechuyev to be mechanich him and all of the elements of the mitzvah, i.e., one of the elements of the first day is that you have to own it. So, if I want to be yet to the mitzvah of chinuch, I have to give it to the child in such a way that he owns it. The problem is that a child can be cut and can't be mocked back. So if I have my lulav and you need to be yotze, I can be mocked a little bit to you. You'll be yotze and you'll be mocked back to me. So I'll have a lochem for the second day. But I give it to my kid on the first day, and the kid say, here, is it yours? That's it. It's his the rest of the yomtiv. So during Chol HaMoed, so it's not a problem. Lochem is kosher. So it's my son's lulav, my cotton 10-year-old son's lulav. And I've been yotze with it, no problem. But the second day yomtiv, I got a problem because I have it in a lochem on the second day yomtiv. So according to the person, you don't need a lochem on the second day yomtiv, you don't have a problem. According to the person, you need a lochem on the second day yomtiv, so what are you going to do? So the eitzah is not to be mocked to the kid. So that's the machloek is whether you're to the chinuch. Because you gave him the right min, in other words, maybe min chinuch enough, but I'm training him to do the basis of the mitzvah properly. But the tanai of lochem, maybe it's not makim. So that's the machloek is by chinuch. So a chalak is about a second day. So the mice, there's different shittas. What do you do? So either you attack or you're makel and you're not mocked it to him, and then you can be yotze lochem the second day, or the opposite, you're makel and you're mocked it to him, and then on the second day, so it's talking on yours, but you will take it here without a bracha on the second day. That would come out.
Doesn't work
like that. Yes, you're mocked. You can't be mocked. If you have multiple children under the bar mitzvah, it's not you got a problem. Right? So you say, well, I want to be machmir, the kitchen owner. Good, so I give it to my 12-year-old. Good, now it's his. Now my 10-year-old says, okay, what about me? He says, well, too late. 12-year-old can't be machmir to the 10-year-old. And what about the 8-year-old, you know? So that's why they created something called chinuch sets.
Okay? Like the kids be like
shutvim? Does shutvim work? So that's a different interesting question. Are yotze l'din of lochem with shutras? That's a major machlokes. So you could argue maybe. Okay, it's an interesting idea. Interesting idea. It's a good idea. I like that. Think about that. Okay. Uh huh. Because you're training him to do a mitzvah. I can't train you. I shouldn't train you to eat treif. Right? I'm a train you to eat treif. I train you to do false mitzvahs. I train you to put on boxes of tefillin without parshas inside. Training is training you to do the mitzvah. That's a mistake that people have at chinuch. Chinuch is not training you how to hold things. It's training you how to do a mitzvah. You know, you don't have to do mahoder. So you take, you know, you take the lulav, which is, you know, yeah, the bidyavid, it's your kosher, you give it to the guy. I don't know.
Which side does Rebbe hold? What's Rebbe doing in the situation?
Which side do I hold? I hold it really, you need lachem. So, okay. It's a little headache. Okay. It's going to come back to home one day with, you know, all my 8 o'clock, you know, I have to buy sets of the lulav for them because, like, you know, my kids can't afford it, you know, like, you know, so, you know, you hold like that, okay, so we'll worry about it then. But then Mashiach will come, we'll figure out the answer to the shayla. Okay, so that's the, so, now, so, number one, so the psul of lochem is only the first day, first 2 days possibly. The psul of lekichatama is the first day, first 2 days possibly. The psul of min is all 7 days. What about the psul of hadar? There's psulim which are problem because there is hadar. Now, every set of dalam minim you want, it should be mahudar. But the Torah culture creates hadar. So there are certain levels of hedar which is all seven, so significant that it's possible because of it. There are certain things which is kosher, but it's not mahudar. So we have two madrigals. We have hadar and mahudar. So does hadar apply? The psulim which are because of hadar, do they apply all 7 days, or do they apply only the first day? So this is machlokes the Rambam and the Rosh. The Rambam holds that hadar only is only the first day. The psulim because of hadar only the first day, and the Rosh holds the psulim of hadar are all 7 days. So there are more paskins like the Rosh. Okay. Well, one of the most common issues which we have with esrog is somewhere along the way, you know, besides the dots, is the pitum. So something of the pitum got knocked off. Right? So if the pitum, now, there are pitums come in two ways. There's certain esregim which the pitum comes that you have the esreg, and you have this little piece of wood that comes up from the esreg, and then you have like a rose which comes on top. So the top is called the shoshanto, and then actually what's called the pitum is the piece of wood sticking up. And so that's one type of esrog. Some of the, one type of esrog, there's actually no wood. It's all esrog up to the rose on top. So the ones which are all esrog up to the rose on top, if the rose gets knocked off, so you and usually we have to assume some of the little, that little piece of esrog got all knocked off. So now you have a chaser. Okay, so chaser is after the first day, it's not a problem. So as long as you can keep your pitum intact on the first day or first 2 days, so chaser is kosher all set, right? Problem is, that's number one. Number two, the halacha says if the wood sticks, if it's a case where there's wood, and then there's the pit of the eshersant on top, as long as some of the wood is there, which is sticking above the top of the height of the esrog itself, it's considered that it's still there. So that's good. If it reaches into the esrog itself, it's a problem of chaser. If it's level, that's questionable. The problem is that there's a Magen Rama says the problem of nitin finos is a psul of hadar, not a psul of chaser. So if it's a psul of chaser, so after the first day or first 2 days, you don't have to worry about chaser. So if you, as long as you can keep your pitim intact the first 2 days, you're very happy. The problem is there's a Magen Rama. The Magen Rama comes along and says the psul of nitin finos is a psul of hadar. And he says, so therefore, according to the Ramah, which is Machmachra, like the Rosh, that Hadar is all 7 days. So the Nitabit Masa is going to be a problem all 7 days. So if you're getting an Esther with a Pitum, so you better be careful about it. What about if a Taka was knocked off? Can you argue? The Mice is a Machlokism between the Rosh. You have two Machlokism over here. You have a machlokes whether it's a psul of chaser or it's a psul of hadar. Your machlokes in hadar is hadar the first day, according to the Rama, it's all 7 days, according to the Rosh. So you take sveika to be machsherit. Okay? So can you make a bracha on a sveika? Right? So the answer to that question is not so simple. Right? So the Mishnah Berurah, the Seir Mishnah Berurah is at first glance. The Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Brachos says the Pharisee, you don't make a bracha on a sveik sveik. Okay? So I have a sveik sveik, whether I should say a bracha, I don't make a bracha on a sveik sveik. Okay? That's the Mishnah Berurah, and the halacha is over there, bracha levatola, he says you don't make a bracha on a sveik sveik. Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Sirus HaOmer says that in a case where a person missed by night and he counted by day, so you can count all the days with a bracha. Because first of all, each day is not ma'akav the other day, and here each day is the ma'akav the other day, but the ma'akav you counted by day. So even though the sheet was told you have to count by night, but the ma'akav she told you count by day, so you have a sveik sveika. Talks about counting benesh moshes, so you can count based on a sveik sveika, he says, and you make a bracha, he says. So how does the Belt answer up the steer? The Belt answer up the steer, but that the difference between a sveik sveika on the bracha and a sveik sveika on the mitzvah. Over here, your halacha is, do I have mitzvah sviris armor? Sveik sveika passes, I do have mitzvah sviris armor. Once you have mitzvah sviris armor, you can make a bracha on a sveik sveika. So over here also, we would argue that this item is kosher based on a sveik sveika. So Mela, in the Bidi Avid situation, you could argue that you could make a bracha on it. In a case where it's Dilipit Mosoi, there are definitely poskim that say you can make a bracha, but definitely, so lechatchil you don't want to get involved in the shaila of losing your pitum. If you do lose your pitum, so the first day two, you cannot make a bracha, and you need to be yet in somebody else's, and the rest of during Chol HaMoed, you can take it and you can argue can we make a bracha on it. And Mishabura argues also much of Rav Pesachim hold like the Rambam, so it makes it even better than just a Sveik Sveika. Rav Pesachim hold like the Rambam that the dinner of Hadar is only one day and not all 7 days. So we're good. Okay. Fine. One of the problems which you have these it's interesting. The Ramah comes up with an interesting Shiloh. So if you have a Esrog which has questions on black dots, questions on dots which are make it questionable. So I have an Eitzah, at least for the Cholamoid, says I'll cut part of it, that part out, since it's Chasver's Kosher. So now I've solved my problem. There's no problem, there's no black dots anymore. Right? So I it's Chasver, it's Chasver's Kosher. So the Ramah brings this Shiloh. And the Ramah says that he brings a case that if a rat got into your esrog and bit into it, so the problem is mias that you have that thing over there. So that you cut around where the rat bit, it's not mias anymore. It's kosher. You use it for cholamoid. You can't use it because it's mias, but cholamoid you have this etza of. But if the problem was because of yavesh or because of menumer, which is a psul all 7 days. See, if you cut it out, it's puzzle. Since it came because psul, you can't use the eights of making it kosher to solve your problem. If it was born because psul, you can't make it kosher by removing it. But the Marbar Mordechai, Mishabur brings, the Marbar Mordechai brings that. That the Mishabur means that the Gruah and the Rav Mordechai are arguing, they hold that you could solve the problem by cutting it out. So when you deal with the asterisk, so you have four layers, right? So you have the outer layer, which is like a glaze on the asterisk, then you have the coloring, then you have the white flesh, and then you have the Chadri Azera, right? So taking off the glaze is not a problem. It's not a problem with chaser. Taking off the coloring, theoretically, is not a problem. But if you take any of the white flesh, it is. It's hard to tell where the coloring ends and where the white flesh begins. But if a person would have an issue with that, Mishabura says you can just scrape off a little bit. So even though you're missing now a mashu of the white flesh, it's a problem with chaser. You have a problem with coloring anymore. Because you've solved the problem of the coloring by taking it out, which the Gruah and the Marbar Mordechai hold you can do, and you can be samek on that, and that's where you'd solve the problem. Okay.
How much needs to be chaser in order for it to be possible because of chaser? Like, I mean, over Chol Moed, half that sort of be missing, or?
You need Roiv.
Okay.
All right.
How does taking out fix it? Isn't the problem
if
some of the white flesh is not there?
Yeah, but chaser is kosher during cholamoid. It's a problem with kechatam, but chaser is not. It's only a problem the first 2 days.
Oh, so why was it a problem before you took out the?
Because it's a problem of if it, a manumer is a problem of it doesn't look right. So that's a problem all 7 days.
Oh, you mean if you take out more, it doesn't look manumer because it's such a big white.
No. Okay. The problem with manumer is. I have his black dots. I have you know, so some black dots develop over, you know, over Yom Tov, and I say, wow, it's not looking so nice, but you know, it shrunk a little bit, whatever. Then also, something black came out, so cut it off. Right, that's an interesting way of dealing with it. The psul of Chazazis, which is mentioned in Halacha, Simon Taperation from Ches Siftes. So it says also Chazazis, so if it's one or two places, two or three places, it's a problem, it's a Mokim Echad, it's Kasher, except it's on the Chaita. If it's on Rubai, it's a problem. So what exactly is this Chazazis thing? So the most Hoiskim will tell you that we don't really see chazazis nowadays. It doesn't usually make it. It's not a common thing, and if it does happen, it usually will not make it to the market. Chazazis is that there's some type of rotting, and it causes, just like when you have something rotting, so it puts out like gas and liquid, so it causes it to puff up. So you'll have a part of the piece on the asterisk, so it got a cut, which got the air wasn't getting to it, so it rotted a little bit, and it's causing the part of the asterisk to puff up. So that's chazazes. But the more common issue that which the person grapple with, that chazazes is that it's come up a bush, yesh mamish, which means you can see that it's raised off the asterisk. So Ramon says, therefore, Ramon, if Sefer Gimel, Tafresh Ram Ches Sefer Gimel says, therefore, yesh la'atz oizen chazaz shakar melashulin ashkenaz mu'ol, fi she'enu gavoy mishar esregim. And some people say the reason that it's considered mar esterik. So what is that? That's referring to what we, Ramon calls it mu'ol. I don't know exactly what mu'ol is. Mool.
It's like I'm saying, it's like a mold, like that.
No, it's a mool. So what's a mool? A mool is a blood flag. What we refer to nowadays as a blood flag. Right. So blood flag is that the blood is a Yiddish word for a leaf, and a fleck is a spot that in Yiddish. So this is the leaf spot. This is where a leaf cut into the asterisk. So the two reasons why that's not a problem. One is they're not raised. And number two is because that's my asterisk. That's how asterisk grow. The leaves of the asterisk happen to have sharp edges. And there also are thorns, which the asterisk tree also has thorns in it. So the asterisk, when it grows, it's going to be touching these things. They're going to leave a mark on the asterisk.
Is it more mahudr to not have that?
Is it more mahudr not to have it? Yes, and you pay for it. Okay.
If it came from a tree where you took away like the thorns or and like kept the leaves away from the asterisk, would it be a problem?
No, so the reason why it's not a problem is because this is what how asterisk normally look. So again, there's two arguments. One, because it's not raised. So it's some type of it's not a problem of chaser. It's not a problem of that there's anything missing. There are rare cases which you're going to discuss an issue maybe being a chaser, but in general, it's not a problem of chaser. The problem is because that there's something here. So it's not black. It's not white. It's something else. Now, so what is it? It's chazazis. Well, chazazis is the only problem if it's raised. So it's not a problem. A. B, this is the way, the problem with chazazis is because that's something which is abnormal. But over here, it's mar esrog. So if you would have a situation where you're, which happens, I've seen it, it's not common, I've seen it, that the leaf mark is not going to raise, but it's raised, which means what can happen is that if the leaf will stay against the asterisk for a period of time, besides leaving the mark, it'll block the air from getting to it. So there, taka, as it cuts into it, that little piece will sometimes taka raise up. So then you have a question. Like according to the first argument of the Ramah, that's not kosher. According to the second argument of the Ramah, it's mar asterisk. So the question suggests you should not get involved in that. So if you are looking at a blood flag, so just make sure it's not raised. It's not common, but it does happen. So
is it puffy there, like physically?
It's puffy, yeah. So, for example, on this asterisk, there's one blood flock over here. It's not raised at all. You can't probably can't see it, right? But I'm not passing it around. You have to come over here and look at it. Right? So, there's the only thing I could find bad about this asterisk. There's one. Right? So that's as nice as you can get. Especially if it's not on the chayitim. So, okay. So, what colors are a problem? Black is a problem. White. If there's white there, that's there's something means there's something wrong with the asterisk. So, on the chaytim, that's a problem. Now, what is a chaytim? There's a machlokes between the Rambam and the Rosh. The definition of a chaytim is the Rambam says the chaytim mamash just means where the next to where the pitim is, all the way up on top. So, but otherwise, it's not considered the chaytim. The Rosh says the chaytim means from the point where the asterisk starts rounding towards the top, which would be basically from here and up, from this point and up. Right, that's the chaytim. So, according to the Rosh, anywhere in that area, you'd be machmer even with one of them. It's only a problem if it's visible. The reason why the chaytim is more chomer than the rest of the asterisk is because it's easily noticeable because the top. So, Mishnah Berurah says, based on the Mabit, that the way you look at it is by holding that length you would hold normally hold an asterisk and looking at it quickly. So unless you have very phenomenal eyesight, you're not going to really see. It's some very small spots. Some people are very good at noticing the things which are wrong, right? So those people should have somebody else looking for them.
So is there a difference between black and white?
No.
See, it's only a problem is on top of that.
No. So on the Chayitim, even one of them is a problem. So the colors are black, white. A red, a brownish red is not a problem. Orange, brown, those are not a problem. A color which is mamish just red and not brown at all. So on the Chayitim, one of them is enough. On the rest of the Esrig, it says that they are not a problem. But it's b'makom echad, it's pasul berubay. If the rive of your esrig lower down is covered with this color, you should not use that esrig. You're probably not going to see that esrig nowadays in the market.
We're machmer like the rush where the chodim starts.
Yeah. But it says b'shtayim b'shtashim makarmis dinner kachazaz lufsa filo b'miyutai. However, if you have it's in two or three places. So then, that then it's a problem. But the Mishnah Berurah comes out that how are we gonna do this? Okay. So some say it's not on my chayitim. It's down here somewhere, right? Lower down. You don't see. I have that other restroom in my office, the puzzle one. But the baseball, yeah. Right.
If you saw somebody use one of those, should you tell them not to use it?
What?
Because I've seen one before. I saw somebody like use it on like like one that was like entirely round.
Really?
Yeah, and nobody put stock in them.
If you either.
I mean, I didn't know.
I've never seen one before in my life. First time I ever saw one. Okay.
So what you were saying is that like the top third is if it has the top third has a down on it, then it's possible?
It's not third, it's the chaitim, whatever the chaitim is.
How do you like define that?
Where it starts leaning, it starts to move, it starts inclining towards the top.
Is that like a line around it, or is it like at any
actually, point? Actually each side you could have different sides. You could have if the Ezra is not balanced, so one side might be like this, one side like this. Okay I'm happy to let you people handle it. So this is possible. This is an ugly kakadr. It's a little bit off. It's not perfect. It's not a perfect kadr, but I think it's close enough that it's considered an ugly kadr, and it's possible. Okay, so you see, it's not. There's a little bit of a chaytan to it on one side, but right? You're masking it's round. Yeah. Okay. So here I put some dots here, right? You can put some dots here, right? So I have three dots here. Great. So three dots. Around the majority of the esrig, even if I let's say I would draw I would do a dot to dot on my esrig, right? I have three dots and I would do a dot to dot on my esrig, and now so that it's not just the dots, but the whole area which is being contained by those dots, right? So it's not right over the esrig, but it's right over one side. If I just look at this side right now, what I see looking at me, I put my dots here and say, wow, that. If I make a dot to dot, I've covered the rive of this side. So some say that's possible already. Some say it's only possible if it covers. If you put the dots to dot together, it'll cover rive of the esrig. A rive of the esrig. So you may macro may suffix. So you have three dots right next to each other. It's not a problem. Mamonashach is not going to be a problem, right? If it's three dots which are spread out on one side, I say, wow, there's one here and one here and one here, like. I do my dot to dot, and I make this nice big triangle, and it covers the majority of that side. So you don't want to get involved in that. Mahudr, you want to try and get limit to those anyway. Because it's an issue of Mahudr, Pasha's the Svar of Mishnah Berurah again applies. If I don't see it easily, it's not going to be a problem.
Rabbi, if you know it's there, but
because you looked closer, but then when you take it away, you don't see it like right away. Is that a problem?
No. The question more interesting is if you know it's there because you looked it closely, and now when you pull it away you still notice it because you know it's there, you can notice it. That's the question which is more challenging. But the mice, the way the Mishnah Berurah says you do it is you at first glance, you hold it at the distance and do it at first glance. So you shouldn't be a lot of things you're not going to be seeing. Okay. So why do people do that with that? Because it's much more exciting to use a magnifying glass. Okay.
Does it have a loop?
What?
Does it have a loop?
Yes, of course I have a loop. All right. Lucky Rabbi doesn't have a loop. Okay. It's a mishtender. That's not mishtender. Okay, that's probably the most common thing you're going to be seeing. I highly doubt you're going to see this halacha lemaisa in your Vayder Meicher. This is the Temoni Esrei. So I just want to point out, I'll pass it around. You will see, besides the, if you decide you want to give it like a Temoni Esrei, like you're really big, right? You'll see in the where the pitum was, there's a hole. You see the top, there's a little hole there. Right. So that is an interesting question. Right. So it's not an uncommon issue with Temoni Esrogim. They actually have a hole there. And if that hole goes all the way down to where the Chadrei Zera is, it's possible. And they have to test it. But
test it out, like making it deeper?
Well, if you know what you're doing, you know how to test it. But I wouldn't tell you to do it on your own. A person is mumchuk. He tests it actually with a very, very thin needle. They know how to push it down, but it shouldn't, to stop before it goes all the way.
So for many people, they get a sonogram.
Okay, so it's just an interesting point over there, because the taka can, I mean, I guess we could open it up at some point in time, we'll open it up and see taka how deep the hole is. That'll be geschmack to see how deep the hole is. Okay, someone's going to come without a pitum. Like that one. You can see very clearly. Don't throw it. Someone's going to come without a pitum. You can see that one. It's very clearly that the pitum, all the sregum, when they first start growing on the tree, all the sregum have a pitum. That's just the way the plant grows. If it falls up very, very early in the process, so it looks like that. Like, it looks nice, smooth, and conic indentation. It doesn't look like the esek was there, the pitum was there, and it fell off afterwards. So that's no shaila. Some of them fall off a little bit later, and the poskim say that, that it should have that smooth type of feeling inside. And there's a little bit of a rim which goes around. This one is you don't even see that. So that indicates that's how it grows. So it grows. Now, if it falls off later on in the process while it's on the tree, just in the regular natural process of growth, but it's ready, a well-formed pitum, this is Mechoikus in the Poiskim. Minigal B'dat says to be Machsherit. So they hold its kosher. So you've got a B'dat Esrig, you might get an Esrig like that, and they hold its kosher. They have a right to pass it in its kosher. You have a right to say you don't want it. That's your decision. But you have to be knowledgeable enough to know that.
Do they pass it off as mahudr or as kosher?
No, it's mahudr. It is mahudr. It's been a blessing. Right? David, it's... Chazin Shesrogim in general don't have pithims b'chlau. But that's actually going both ways.
But that's, we're talking about the Hechsher or the discipline of specific gun?
I don't know what that's why all of the I don't know what all the zons have it. I don't know what all the zons have it. The name of whatever. Okay. Now, last issue which you have, which is the issue of Murkov. You're not going to be passing the issue of Murkov. I just want to just talk about it a little bit. So the Ezra tree, Esrogim don't necessarily come out looking so nice. You want to make them look nicer. So if you graft them together with some other types of citrus fruits, they end up looking much nicer. It also makes the tree stronger. The esrog tree is a very weak tree, And you would make a graft of it and then grow it like that tree like that. So once that happens, from now on, anything that tree produces is considered a morkav. We're not machshir morkav. How do you know that your esrog is not morkav? You don't.
Then, above that, that's an esrog kilayim.
What?
Isn't it also an esrog kilayim?
All right, that's... There's always something in the henna from kilayim. I'm not growing it, so it's all right, kilayim. I'm not planning to plant it. I'm not planning to grow it. All right. So how do you know? So historically in Europe, the esrogim from Yanova, it was the Yiddish name for Genoa. It actually wasn't esrogim from there. It was actually esrogim from a certain section in Italy, which they would market it through Yanova. Were assumed not to be morkav. They had a masara. They had given them a check on it, and they assumed they were not to be morkav. Esrogim actually are also used in this in the perfume industry, and they much prefer ones which are morkav. So when Jews are kicked out of the neighborhood, and meanwhile perfume companies were still using the place, you just come back 60 years later and say, "Oh, now yeah, masara is the same tree, you know, chazaka," right? You don't know. You don't know what's happened to those trees in the meantime, right? So Moses Reagan, we don't know for sure. We don't. Chazanish spent a long time being ma'ayin, and if he could find some, Mishabur brings some on him to prove that something's not a morkav. Mishabur brings some separate truth. Some says you cannot rely on the simonim because you have Reagan, which we know are not morkav. We've been in Masara on many generations. They're not morkav, and they have. You know, they have the wrong simon, or vice versa. It's something which we know are morkav, and we check out the simon, and they look the other way. So it's not reliable. The chazam service is the only reliable thing is you have to have a masara. The chazanish spent a long time trying to be ma'ay and talking on the different trees, etc. And he found what he felt were esrogim in Eretz Yisrael, different places, which he felt kappa were not morkav. Based on his research, he took those and planted them in Bnei Brak. One of them was planted by a Halperin family. One was planted by Rabbi Yehuda Michal Lefkowitz. He had them planted, take care of it. So Chazanish and Esrogim, which you get from anywhere, are now coming from those two trees. They're coming from branches made from those trees. So you have the weight of the Chazanish behind that saying he was eyeing into it as much as he could, and he feels confident that these are not merkavim, and that's how you know. Do we know Vare? Were we there? Just you know, just checking it. The rule of thumb was that the more decrepit the tree looked, and the worse it looked, the better chance it was not merkav. That was basically, it's like, you know, the way you knew something was, you know, you got the kosher meal on the plane, like, you know, it looks like it's the worst one on the available. That's the same type of idea. But he, you know, once they started taking care of it, means, you know, then part of taking care of it, you know, was many times they'd be marked of it, because they would make it stronger. So you have to rely on your hechsherim. So you're relying on the Badat has a hechsherim, which they, you know, they have, they're giving their hechsher on that it's not morko. That's the main reason why you're getting a hechsher on it. It's not, they're not telling you that necessarily this hechsher is kosher. They're telling you that it's not a morkav. That's what they're promising you. Some years also promising you the not issues of shmiyas, etc. That, you know, that's another issue. But at this point in time, you should not be dealing with shmita issues on your esrog.
Is a separate question, but somewhat related. Is there an issue with using Heres Korla as if the esrog is during those years, or does it not even grow fruit during those years?
Well, orla could be a problem. Tesha could be a problem, or because esrog has to be lechilo, to be kosher. So an esrog which would be esrog, you know, which is orla, would be a problem. Now there are scenarios depending on how you plant it, where if you take a branch and you plant it, it starts producing. That's a new natia. You start counting orla from there. So you got 3 years from that, and then it could be theoretically it could produce fruit during that time.
And that's true also with harkava from another esrog tree.
If you mark it into the tree, then depending how you do it, it will make it lav dafki everything in the world.
Is it possible to tell if fruit is markav like after you go like cut up in the Nasrub?
Even after you cut it open, so the Mishaber brings a simon the way the seeds sit, and the Mishaber server says on that specifically that that was not a reliable simon. That the, whether the seed sits facing upwards or the seed sit horizontally. So at the end of the day, Mishaber, you know, himself says that you don't rely on that simon either. Obviously that, you know, it might make your esrog into a chaser. But you know, you could take a tree which has many, you know, assuming your question is on the trees, you could take one of the trees, which looks possible anyway, cut it open and get a simon. But theoretically, okay, let's just talk to the lulav a little bit. So my lulav I'm a little more comfortable with over here because it's possible. This is a lulav which was a hymn that actually split it since then. It originally came like this, so it wasn't a problem of nistak. So
is it also nistak measure?
Mm-hmm. So this is your middle leaf. Don't do this to a real kosher one, please. Okay, that's your middle leaf. That's your tiyamis. I didn't measure it, but to go from here till here, let's say for argument's sake, it's about 12 inches. All right. So now you'll also see that the leaf is split. Right? So there's, besides the fact that it's split, there's also a problem that it's a hymnic. The split is very clearly distinct. So now, but forget, let's say it was not a hymnic. It wasn't going two different directions, the split. But what is a shear of psul of nistak? So there's two shitas. One shita says it's a tefach. So I say, okay, this is a tefach. So that's enough to parcel. Right? From the top down, a tefach is split. That's a problem. Second shita says that the shear is roiv. So the roiv of this leaf is not split.
It's pretty close.
But the top part is. Or you say that's not, but
there's... I'm forgetting about the hymnic.
Okay.
Right. The hymnic is a problem not of height, of width. Right. It's nowhere near.
And it doesn't matter where the
it's nowhere near half.
Is, if it's,
what?
Does it matter? Try to even throw up things. Does it matter if it's in the middle or if it's at the top? I mean, most likely to be at the top, but I would say it's split in the middle somewhere.
Theoretically, could be a problem in the middle also.
Right.
So since the split is not roiv, according to the one sheet, that's kosher. The mites it's a tefach, so misafik we're not gonna use it. I can use it for other reasons. Problem him anyway, but. Right. Well, let's say it originally came like this. It was closed all the way up till here before we played around with it. Right. So it's not a tefach, it's not a roiv. So if it would not be a problem with hymnic, we'd be very happy. Right. It's still kosher. Mishabur says that the chatzkil is not going to use it because as you do not know him, you're going to get involved in making it, it's going to split more.
Can you glue it?
But you can glue it. You put a little bit of glue in there, and that's therefore it won't split anymore.
Before.
But you can't glue it. Once it's puzzle, you can't use glue to put it back together again.
Right? Well, is there
all the king's horses?
What?
All the king's horses.
Right, all the king's horses. Right.
Is there a shear in hymnic? Meaning, to what extent? Just any little part?
So that's a machlekes. So this is a hymnic according to all sheets.
Does the glue have to be made out of special material?
Elmer's glue with the picture of the cow in the front.
It doesn't matter if the cow's a tree.
Right, the cow's a tree. Do
they use horses?
Okay. Theoretically, nistak would be a problem. If it's not the tiyomis, this would be a problem. On rubber your eel olim. If all of your olim were nistak, it'd also be a problem. But you know, let's say your termis was sholim and the rest of the leaves, rubber them were nistak, so it'd also be a problem. That's not very common. Right? Careful, just careful with that. I'm not chai for any nizikim which takes place, but people pass it around. Okay. So what's the shear of a hymnic? So interestingly, the Chazanish was Bishop Brewer's machmer. Shabur says as long as it's noticeable, the two things are distinct, it's a problem of hymnic. I do want to point out, it's only a problem of him, like if they're originally growing to, sometimes the tip, one of them is higher than the other, or they grow with a little bit, just a little bit separate from each other. That's how they grow. That's not a problem in this of hymnic. Hymnic is only when it was attached and it detached, and it detached in a width in such a way that even though it's not very long, the length is not too much, but in the width part of it, it's you can see the two sides distinctly. The Chazanish's mach says no. The hymnic was a type of a fork. So it's not just the fact that they're distinct, it's that there's some distance between them. I think this is a hymnic of Kuliyama.
Something like the last millimeter, so it would be like a bee. That would be
a Mishabura. Mishabura would be a problem, as long as the way you measure it is, you measure it at arm's length. If you notice it easily at arm's length, that would be a problem, according to Mishabura.
How do you tell the difference between if it was originally split or it grew differently? I mean, it was
you can tell. I mean, I would advise one other thing. Sometimes you get it. If you can avoid it, sometimes. So, how do you decide which leaf is the tiyamis? So, you start with your shedra, that's the thick wood in the middle, and as the wood goes up, what happens is just the leaves come off of the shedra. As you go up, the leaves come off to the side. The last leaf standing is your tiyamis. Means when the shedra no longer is splitting off anything else. Right, just keeps going up, so that's why over here it seems to be pretty clear that this is the tiyamis. But then the funny thing is, there's a second leaf here. See that? Which is, you don't see it at first glance. There's a second leaf besides your tiyamis leaf. There's a little leaf coming off to the side. Sometimes actually the shedra will end in two. There's a sheet that's a guide which holds that the issue of nistak applies between the two leaves. When there's two tiyamis, if the two of them are split from each other, it's a problem of nistak. So Tosis brings the sheet in Masechtas.
So
good. You're a shaman. Okay. Sheet Baba Kama in the ninth parak.
I knew that.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. Okay. Yeah, I forgot that. Right. So Tosis brings that sheet as a goyim. So the other which learns the sugyas over there of Agarzal Kamos talks about the case when I steal something from a person and give it back. So if I steal a little kasha lulav and get back a pasul lulav, at what point in time is it called the shinoi that you're kind of? So I make my lulav into something other than a lulav. So you make into hutzi. I take a lulav, I start making into leaves. Is that a shinui? It's a different thing. Or not. It's leaves. I don't really change it. So that's the sugya over there. So Tosis brings over there the chikta. So before, but you want to stay away from that. Common issue that you have is, you'll see over here that the tips over here are discolored a little bit. You see the tips they have with the sun burnt them. They're nisrav. Mm. It's kosher.
What? It's white.
It'll only be possible because it comes yavesh. There's no psul of nisrav per se. There's a psul of yavesh. Yavesh, we pass on yavesh. It's not to turn white. First I have to turn white, but even if it's so crumb, it's so dry that it just crumbles. I saw quoted from Moshe Zatzal when he was still in Russia under the communists, so he couldn't get a lulav. So he saved his lulav from year to year. He used it for 8 years. He used his lulav for 8 years.
Kept it in water, I assume.
What?
I assume he kept it in water.
I don't think he kept it in water because you might have a problem with kavush. But he just kept it in a place which was, you know, it wasn't too dry. And it stayed kosher for 8 years. So people come and say, "Why my lulav is yavesh?" That's not so common. I do want to give you one example where you might accomplish that, which you definitely accomplished. When the lulav dries, the leaves start to split. If you're traveling somewhere and you decide to put your lulav across the back of your dash, you know, the back of the car, you know, so the sun should, you know, you're driving. I had a fellow who came, he said, with this comes to me with from New York to Silver Spring, and he comes to me, you know, with Hashanah's lulav, and says, it wasn't there when he left New York. I said, where'd you put the lulav on the car? He said, he put it across the back of the car. I said, well, that's why the leaves split from the sun drying it as it was going along. So that's enough. Four hour trip from New York in a nice hot sun, in the back of the glasses magnifying it onto your lulav is enough to partial your lulav. So please don't do that.
Keep it cool. If you take the leaves, like the side leaves, not the side leaves, and rip them off, is that issue anything?
If you take right of them off, you'd have a problem.
Take one of them to make like a...
No, it's not a problem. I just want to point out that... So Yaakov's question, just like, can you take one of these off to make something out of it, right? Make your bindle out of it. So the answer is yes, it's fine. However, they come waxed in the bottom to keep the moisture in. When you do that, you take off the wax, and now you're not going to have the moisture in, so it will dry more quickly. So I wouldn't, if you have a little bit of kosher, I wouldn't advise you to do that with.
So that brings the next question.
What?
So, and that's not an issue of adding like a separate meat and putting wax.
No. We first of all, it's not in your shear. I mean,
thank you. Well, very good question. I think glue on the top.
Right. So, you know,
I guess it's no worse than Devik. So
it's no worse than the glue on top, right? Right. It's there the tzarach a little bit, right? Well, two more things. As I mentioned, the way you measure your where you put your hadassim. So the lulav has to be. The lulav has to be one tefach higher than the hadassim and the rabbis. So if this is where this is the end of the shedra, so the hadassim and rabbis have to end the tefach down. So what you do is you put your a fist, put the ring here, and now you have a marker to know where that your hadassim and rabbis should not go above that spot. And just make sure that your ring doesn't move, right? But you know, put the ring tight in that spot. So you know the right. Now, if you see people that have it higher, like you know, their hadassim was like up here, like you know. So Rav Dovah Feinstein has a piece on it. He said it's not ma'akev b'diavad. Even though the Mor says the shear of the lulav is 4 tefachim, in order that it should extend beyond the hadassim rabbis 1 tefach, and we have some means in the shedra. So the Mor is saying, therefore, that's the shear. So on the Hebrew, he says it's not ma'akev b'diavad, but the chilul about a person should do that. One last thing, I want to talk about nanuim. Okay, there are 3 shitas how to do nanuim. Restate that. I'm not discussing the issue of the directions. That's sort of a shita about the directions. Which direction you go first, second? I'm not going to involve in that. Right, but the actual mice of nanuim. There's 2.5 shitas, right? So the Shulchan Aruch says that Nanuim is one in each direction, and as you're doing that one in each direction, what you do is you go out 3 times, you shake 3 times, you shake as you're coming in. That's all you do according to the Shulchan Aruch. You do one in each direction, 3 out, 3 times you shake as you go out, 3 times you shake as you go in, and you do that for all 6 directions. The Ramah says, no, you have to go back and forth 3 times in each direction. The Ramah sounds like you don't have to do any shaking. Mishmur said that's not true. You have to shake. According to the Ramah also.
So that's the 2.5.
What?
So that last one's the half.
So that's 1.5 shita so far. Right? Then the Mishmur being a second shita. Mishmur being the second shita, which is a taz, that you start here, he says. You go out, you go like this, 3 shakes, and you come back next to you, you go 1, 3 shakes, and then you go back and forth 2 more times without shaking, you know, in each direction. All right, so that's the Taza sheet. Mishabura says that he suggests that the correct way to do it is like the Ramah, like the Mechaber, but now he doesn't say clear. According to Mechaber, the 3 Nanuim is the fact that you shook it 3 times as you moved out once and moved back once. According to Ramah, the 3 Nanuim is you go back and forth 3 times. He doesn't say how many times you have to shake during that process. right? It doesn't say. So there are two opinions. One says you can buy both shitas. So it's 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. But I do that, but the chazan's already like he's already holding by like you know by on Hashem Mashiach by you know by the end of Havel. That's what I you know like that's you know Pasha the Kordor Amor. You don't need to do three each time. You have to do one shake as you go out, one shake as you come back, one shake as you go out, one shake as you come back, one out, one back. That's the three you're supposed to do in each direction. Still takes time, right? So, but that's I just want to point out like the standard Kazan's approach doesn't necessarily work for the halachic preferred way to do it on north. Now, the Mishabura says that. The Shulchan Aruch says that if you didn't do Nanum at all, you have to go back and do Nanum. B'shas Baruchah. If you did do Nanum, no matter how you did it, you're Yotzei. So, you know, you just did this, you know, that's it. I don't know, whatever you did. As long as you did something, you're Yotzei. So, that's why we're not going to make a big issue out of it. We don't want to shake up the place. But, right? You know. It's not Yom Kippur. We have to have these one pun. But for the hakil, you should do it right. I mean, I don't know this is why you shouldn't do it right.
The shake itself is just like, I mean, do the leaves have to like?
They have to make sound.
They have to make sound.
You have to make sound.
So you have rings so tight that there's no sound. It's just
so then loosen your rings. So you don't want to put your ring like here, like you know, ring here, ring here, ring, you know, like. That's not a chokhma, right? That's not the point. The point is there should be. It says, "Oh, you want to say yor?" We think Hashem. So while you're saying halal, so some people what they do is when they take the lulav in the sukkah in the morning, people are mocked when they get up and they do the sukkah. They pay the rizal to do the sukkah, the lulav in the sukkah. So while they're at it already, they might as well talk and do the nanum properly, you know. And then the shas halal, they do the nanum. You know, just you know. You know, type of stuff. You know, right? You know, that type of stuff. Or you come here, and they wait for Rabbi Reingold. So, you know, the chazan has to figure out why it takes me so long. You think it's like what the problem is, but okay.